Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Ways back when a lot of people wanted to believe that antidepressants were going to be the universal cure for everything, a friend of mine who's a researcher was at a meeting with a bunch of marketing people who worked for a large pharmaceutical company. And when one of the marketeers who happened to be sitting near him discovered my friend's credentials, he quite seriously said to him, "You know, what this company needs is one of them behavior pills." I thought about this when I was reading about the quest for the genes associated with behavior. It's the same kind of thinking. You know, we're going to find this holy grail, this gene that's going to be not just associated with aggression, but the cause of aggression, or the cause of depression, or the cause of exuberance. Or maybe the patient gene. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be nice to have a patient gene? Of course, you wouldn't want to have like a really, really strong patient gene, because, well, maybe you'd never get anything done. Maybe you would be so patient that you would just stand there forever. But this idea of genes causing behavior and the idea of identifying those genes, it's not something that's new. It's not something that's tied up with all of our knowledge now of the genome and how to study the genome and how to replicate DNA and tag these various genes. The idea of finding such a relationship is probably as old as the human species. It probably goes back to whenever one group of people decided that they were better than another group of people. That if they could just figure out what made this group of people better than other people, then they could capitalize on that. Or the idea that if we could manipulate the genome and somehow come up with a super race, a master race. It's always been part of our history. And sad to say, it's not always been part of the best part of our history either. It's been used as a reason to discriminate against certain type of people, certain ethnicities, people with certain sexual preferences, people belonging to certain religions. So I wonder about this. You know, I wonder about this quest for the genes associated with behavior. And it would bother me, except that I don't think they're going to find them. I think that behavior is too complex. No matter how much simpler the canine genome might be than the human genome, and no matter how much it may lend itself to helping us find genetic markers for certain diseases that occur in both dogs and humans, I don't think we're going to be quite so lucky when it comes to behavior. Because the kinds of behaviors that really bother us, particularly aggression, well, part of the problem is we don't even agree on what the definition of aggression is. Aggression's in the eyes of the beholder. And so are a lot of behaviors. They're quite subjective. And because of this, the probability that we'll find a gene associated with a particular behavior and a gene, the manipulation of which we can guarantee is going to alter behavior in the individuals who carry it, I don't know. Given our history in such endeavors and how we feel about those who are different, and how we have this way of identifying those who are different as comparable to those who are wrong, I don't know how lucky we're going to be in that particular pursuit. Well, I think maybe if we can't figure this out, that might not be such a bad thing. Not only for our species, but also for the other animal species on whom we might impose those results.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.